Hey, cool. Thank you. Actually, let's stand up. I just want to pray, because, yeah. Is anyone nervous? Oh, good. Thought I might be the only one. All right. Oh, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for today. And Father, I just pray that your hand and your anointing sits on the words that I speak today, Father. That they're not my words, but they're your words. And that they'll be words in season, Father God. And I know that when you touch something, Father, actually it doesn't matter what it is, but it'll impact people's lives. So, Father, whether I stumble, whether I speak in funny languages, whatever, Father, I know that if your anointing sits in those words, I'll actually speak into people's lives and lives will be changed today. And, Father, today we actually remember Nigel and Andrea. And we lift them up as our leaders, Father God. We remember them today. And Father, we just ask that your hand sits on them, sits on their lives, Father God. We pray as the leaders of this church, Father God, that you'd give them wisdom as they lead us. And Father, that you protect them. Because we know that when the devil comes and when he attacks at the head, Father God. And these guys, they're going to stand firm, Father. They've done so much just by standing, Father God. And so today we remember them. I remember their family too, Father God. And Father, for this house, I thank you that this house, C3 Fremantle, is just such an amazing place, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, that your house is like no other house in the world. That it's an amazing house where actually absolute garbage can come in, but gold can leave, Father God. Where people can come in with broken lives, Father God, and they can be mended and they can leave this place, Father God. Where people can come in sick and they can leave healed, Father God. People can come with such problems in their lives, but leave it just completely healed. Father, we thank you for this house. We thank you that it's your house, and that's what makes it so different. Father, we just commit everything to you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks. I feel better now. Right, today, talking about serving, and this is all part of that whole series we're doing, that 40 Days of Purpose, and I called, Jesse's got my slides, we were there, just created to serve. It's kind of the second part. And I hope everyone was here last week to hear Jordan talk. Yeah? Jordan's the man. And I feel ripped off that I had to go second to follow him. Because I thought, what can I do that beats Jordan's preaching? Well, nothing really. So Jordan had three fantastic points. Hope everyone remembers them. First one was, it's all about you. Serving is all about you. The second point was, it's not about you. You'll have to get the CD and listen to it. And the third point was, if you serve, you'll be molded like Jesus. And they are amazing points. And Jordan's just an amazing preacher. What can I say? Actually, Jordan and Sarah and Wes. Where's Wes gone? Oh, Jordan and Sarah, do you want to stand up? Sorry, you have to stand up. Yeah, put your stuff down. I just want to say, guys, you need to honor these guys and Wes. They're kind of the youth leaders. Jordan runs the youth and Wes and Sarah help him out. And I know he kind of was talking about people who help him out every week. But these guys put in such a phenomenal effort every week with the youth. And please, even if you're not part of the youth, you can pray for them because there's such a weight that sits on their shoulders. On any leader's shoulders, there's actually a weight that sits there. And it doesn't matter if they lead one person or 5,000. There's actually a weight that sits on their shoulders. And these guys carry that weight. And, you know, when Jordan was talking last week about people in the youth, sorry, you can sit down, probably feeling a bit awkward there. But when he's talking about people in the youth, like I know he mentioned Cassidy last week, he was just so excited about you and what you do. He's not just putting that on. He does talk to all of us. He will come in and he's so excited about you guys and he talks about you. And so if everyone else, pray for him because he carries a weight on his shoulders and it's basically the youth of this church are sitting on their shoulders. So please remember them when you pray. It's really important. And they do such a fantastic work. Again, things you'll never see. Just during the week, they're talking to each other and they're praying for people and so on. Please don't forget them. Oh, cool. The man. Alrighty, I'm going to get into this just for time. Talking about serving, I was trying to think about this during the week. I was thinking about, I thought I should follow Jordan's lead because he's so good. I'd come up with some points about serving. and then I thought, well, I can't outdo that. I should just play Jordan's CD from last week. That would be the best thing. But as I thought about it, I thought there's actually some myths about servanthood. Things that that are just wrong. We have these misconceptions. So I've got these five myths about servanthood. Mythbusters, yeah. Alrighty. I was trying to think of some crazy experiment I could do up here, but anyway, I couldn't. The first myth is this. Number one, I'll go through this really quickly. Serving someone makes them your master. It's a myth. If I choose to serve someone, it does not make them my master. It doesn't give them the right to be ordering me around. Yeah, and sometimes we get that. I don't want to serve someone because I don't want them telling me what to do. It's not actually about that. It's actually about that person. How can I help them? And also the flip side of that, don't ever think because someone's serving you, it gives you any right to be telling them what to do in their lives. Second myth, serving is about losing control. We kind of think when we serve someone, oh, I've lost control of what I can do around my life and so on. Honestly, it's actually about taking control. It's actually about you making a very informed decision, I'm going to serve someone because there's something about that person, I want to help them, I want to get something from them. It's about being a leader of your own life. You're making a decision, a conscious decision about who you serve. And look, everyone serves someone. Everyone serves someone or something in their lives. So what you're really doing is just being very deliberate about what that thing is. Joshua 24:15 says this, and I'm going from the New King James Version, unlike Jordan, because this is the one that Jesus preached from. Right. And Joshua 24:15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What an amazing statement. I think we should be saying this over our lives all the time. It's something we should declare over every part of our lives. And men, definitely men, declare this over your wife, over your family, over your household. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make a decision about who you're serving. Third point. I'm doing this really quickly. Serving is the opposite of leadership. Sometimes we think, I want to be a leader, but I have to serve someone. That's not really leadership. Actually, God's whole concept of leadership is actually about serving. It's a myth. Serving and leadership are pretty much the same thing, if you think about it. To leaders, this doesn't mean you're not delegating things to people. So if you're a leader over a group of people, it's not about you taking on every task that needs to be done so you can serve someone. But it actually changes the way you think about things. If I have a list of 10 tasks and then I can't do them all, but then I'll go, you know what, if I do task 3 and 4, I can delegate to this person because I know it'll make them grow. And so your whole concept of how you lead changes. And you might say, look, task 7 absolutely sucks. It's not going to help anyone. I'll take that on because I want my people that I'm leading to grow with these other tasks. Myth number 4. Serving someone means they are always right. You get this in customer service all the time. The customer is always right. Honestly, I think that's just a maxim, something that's come up to help people go and train customer service staff. Let's face it, often the customer's actually wrong. sometimes they just haven't read the instructions on something they bought. They're just idiots, let's face it. or they've just got the wrong product for the job or something like that. I'm not saying always they're idiots, but sometimes. But the thing is this, the person you serve may not be right. They may come along, they may do something, but if you're there to serve them, what you're doing is identifying their needs. How can I help them? And sometimes, you don't have to win every argument you have with someone. It's not important to win the argument. It's actually important the relationship you have with someone. Now, sometimes you might need to win the argument. It might be actually something very important. More often than not, 90% of the time, it's not that important, winning the argument. What's important is that relationship with the person. You know what? They can be wrong, but I can still serve them. Yep. Last point. Serving is a lowly profession that's dehumanizing and demeaning. We kind of get the concept, I'm serving someone, I'm at the lowest level of possible. Completely wrong. I reckon serving is the most noble profession in the world. It's the most noble thing you can do for someone, to do is to help someone else, helping them to go where they need to go. I was trying to think about, if you're thinking about some of the most highly regarded, respected people that have ever lived, the one person that came to my mind was Mother Teresa. And yet she spent her whole life serving people. That's all she did. And yet probably the most highly regarded people, regardless of what religion you're from and so on. Probably slightly jumping ahead to Jesse, that's cool. So I've got this quote from Mother Teresa. She said, by blood, I am Albanian. By citizenship, an Indian. By faith, I'm a Catholic nun. As to my calling, I belong to the world. And as to my heart, I belong entirely to the heart of Jesus. That's phenomenal. I think it's great. As to my calling, I belong to the world. And that's how she saw herself, someone who just serves the world. So there we go. I just wasn't going to focus on those too much. But just, I was thinking, five myths about servanthood, things we kind of get wrong, our perception of it. So anyway, so getting on to the main point, I was trying to give us three more reasons to serve, following on from Jordan's three fantastic reasons. And I think this is actually, I was trying to give a different perspective on it. So I called this three more reasons to serve. A picture of Mother Teresa there. So let me get on to this. Number one, great things are achieved through serving. So greatness. Mark 10, actually, if you've got your Bibles, open them up, read them, make notes, write. People often say, I'll get the CD, but even when you write things, you actually remember them better. So, yeah. Mark 10, 43. This is where Jesus actually introduces the whole concept of servanthood. So let me read this. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Heaps of things in that. One, Jesus, God. You think the one person in all of history, all creation, that actually deserved to be served, actually said he came to serve mankind. What a phenomenal concept. He didn't need to do that, but he chose it. That was his calling while he was on the earth, was to serve people. And the other part of this is gets me is this, blah, 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 blah. That's right. Whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Just a note, it's not wrong to desire great things. It is not wrong to desire to be someone who's completely amazing and so on. Yep. God's not saying that. He's just saying the way to do it is to serve other people. And it's not to lord it over people, not to walk over everyone else so you can get to the top or to wherever you need to go. But the way to get there is to serve people. And it's a concept, I think, quite often in our Western world we get mixed up. We, you know, even our, just human ways, our ways of thinking are sometimes different to God's. Isaiah 55:8 says this. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And this is the thing. God's way of doing things is completely different to ours. And in fact, it's always different to how we expect. Think of faith. We generally say, I'll see something and then I'll believe it. God says, believe something, then you'll see it. Yeah. We think about money and giving. Quite often we'll say, when I have something, I'll give. And God says, no, you've got it wrong. When you give something, you'll get. Yeah. So God's ways, we need to understand, when we want to move in God's kingdom, we've got to change the way we think. We need to move in God's ways and the way he thinks. About life, you know, we say, when I have my life, I'll start be able to lay it down for others. When I've got everything sorted in my life, I'll start doing it. God says, no, when you lay down your life for others, then you'll receive it. Then you'll receive that eternal life, that anointing that comes with that. Forgiveness, we kind of say, you know, the whole eye for an eye thing. You know, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to take vengeance. God says, vengeance is mine. He says, you forgive. Yeah. And so we go, so serving, we kind of say, I'll get to the top, you know, so I don't have to serve, so others can serve me. And God goes, no, only when you start serving people will you get to the top. So keep that in mind. The whole concept of what we do and getting to great things is changed. We do it through serving. I got this verse here. Psalm 103, verse 7. He made his ways known to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. You know, Moses understood the ways of God. The children of Israel kind of missed it. They saw the acts that happened. And you can see it, you know, when Moses left them, they got it completely wrong about what was happening. They saw the acts and they wanted those, but it's actually what they should have done, understood the ways of God. skipping on. So when we see people doing great things for God, you know, when you see Nigel and Andrea doing what they do, I mean, look at this place. It's fantastic. We're in this building. But you know what? Behind that is an awful lot of time just spent praying, seeking God, hanging there with God. So behind all these great things that happen, we need to understand there's a way about it. You know, the music team, these guys spend an incredible amount of time. There's an incredible weight on Caroline's shoulders as she leads this team. But behind all their success is time spent with God. You just can't get around that. It's more than just rehearsals and all that. It's just having a relationship with God. All right. I've got a cough floating in my mouth. Sorry. So some of that, if we desire to do great things, then we must understand that there is the way to do that is to serve people. Second point, serving will position you. So Exodus 33:11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Let me put this into context. Here's the Israelites. They're moving. They've come out of Egypt and they're moving to the Promised Land. They've got this whole 40-year journey. You know, Joshua was the commander of the army. He was the leader. He's the general. He's the man at the top of the army. And even that wouldn't have been an easy job because he had all these people who used to being slaves coming out. He would have had to train them up. He's got a new generation he needs to train. They went into battle with a couple of minor exceptions where they disobeyed God. They won every fight they went into. This was a formidable fighting unit. And Joshua was the commander of the army. But he still found time to serve the man of God. He'd go out to his duties during the day and he would come and say, Moses, I'm your servant. Whatever I need to do. And that positioned him. When Moses left the tabernacle, so the meeting tent where he met with God, Moses would go, Joshua would go, I'm in this place, I'm going to hang here. You know, serving someone will position you where you need to be. And you need to understand this, Joshua went on to become the leader of Israel, to lead them into the Promised Land. He wasn't actually the best qualified person for the job. If you think about it, when the 12 spies went out into Canaan, spied it out. Caleb and Joshua came out, the two spies came back and gave a good report. It was Caleb who was actually the preacher, the one who could speak, who had it. He was the one that talked to all the Israelites, said, we can do this. He was the man of faith, the preacher, and so on. Joshua, however, was just the man who understood how to serve and how to sit in God's presence. He's the one that went on to lead Israel. So often it's not the talents, the skills we have. It is to a certain degree, but you need that heart that sits on top, that servant heart. And I've got here, serving someone will position you for achieving your destiny and your calling in life. Our destiny is caught up with other people. There's no doubt about it. You can't do life alone. It's caught up with all the people around you, and we need to serve them. And again, this is one of those things where we might say, you know what? We get it wrong. We kind of think, I'll wait till I'm in position. I'll wait till I've sorted my life out. I'll wait till I've got all this money before I give all, you know, but I'll wait until I've sorted my life out. Then I'll start serving people. It's wrong. God says, start serving people now and your life will start getting sorted out. So it's never, there's no excuse you can really think of for serving God. And being out of position is a bad thing. There's a whole message in just being in position. But being positioned and getting ready for something that God has coming in your life, you need to be in that position ready to catch it. Think of someone who surfs, for the surfers out there. You need to be in position to catch waves. Now, I remember going out. I'm not a good surfer at all. Pretty crap, actually. But you know, give me a surf ski or you know a boogie board or something like that, I'm great. But I went out with my friend Dave, who lives down in Bunbury, and forgot the beach we went to, way down south near Margaret's. And we went out and he said, oh, yeah, give me some tips on how to surf. So he gave me his board, which was probably a mistake, it was a bit small for me. And so he's out there and he's trying to teach me how to get onto the board and so on. This is many years ago. And some pretty horrendous surf coming in. And he said, well, go out there, see if you can catch a wave. So I could see him, he's still within yelling distance to me. And the set starters coming in. And so, you know, I saw this wave, and I said, going to get this one. He goes, yep, go for it. And I started paddling, but I was out of position. And so I'm paddling away, I think I'm not getting anything. But then I look behind me, and the wave has just built up. It's come over, and I'm sitting at the bottom of this thing going, I'm not going to get any speed. And I'm looking down, and I can see the bottom through the water, because all the water's being sucked out behind me. I look at my friend Dave, and he's just like, you know, and that wave just came pummeling on top of me. That's the deal, you know. I was out of position. I didn't understand how to catch a wave properly. And that's what life's like. We need to be in position to catch things, you know. There's all these moves of God that happen. But if we're out of position, we kind of miss them, you know. And you need to, it's yourself. You need to get yourself in position. So serving will do that to you. It's just serving someone will position you for the things that God has for you. Third point. Get through this quite quickly. Third point is this. We are created to serve. Yep. God has created us to serve. Our purpose in life can only be found through serving others. If you're wondering why you're here, get serving. Actually, get serving someone. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." As I said, we're created to serve. And part of that is we all have our piece in that. Jordan spoke about it last week, about body, you know, we're all working together. You know, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5 says this, Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one receives his own reward according to his own labor. You know, we each have a part to play. Paul was speaking to the church in Corinth, and he was just saying, you know what, you kind of, at this time, there's all these people in the church who are saying, you know, I'm a servant of Paul, I'm a follower of Paul, and there's others who said, I'm a server of Apollos. And Paul's trying to just cut that out. He's going, nah, all of that is wrong. He goes, I came and I did my role, was actually to plant the church, to set you up. He says, after me came Apollos. His job was to water what I had planted. But you know what? None of that's important because we're all serving God. He goes, keep the focus right. So when we all come to God, and there's no doubt about this, when we all come to God, we're needing him. And so it's not, sometimes we need to hang in church. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that, but it's only for a season. Sometimes, you know, you come in, your life's broken. It might be you've been in church your whole life, and there just might be some weeks you need to come and sit in there. So I'm not saying it's a constant serving thing. But that's actually an immature place to lead. God never intended for us to stay at that place of just receiving. He always intended us to actually start serving other people and to be involved in their lives. And that's basically a maturity. It's just growing up in God and doing what we do. And there's all sorts of excuses we can come up with. Humans are fantastic for excuses. Really, we're quite creative creatures. Can't make excuses. You know, I was trying to write down some. You know, some people say, but I serve God and not people. Well, here's the deal. Everyone here is God's child, and Jesus himself, God himself said he came to serve people. Yep. And we're meant to be Christ-like. We serve people. Other excuses. I was thinking through this list, but I, whatever. You know, Abraham was too old, but he served God. Leah was not attractive enough, but she still managed to serve God. Timothy was too shy. Paul was too sick. There's a sickness if you read through it that he had. Daniel was a slave in a completely different culture, but he still served God. Joseph's family had rejected him. He'd been wronged numerous times by all sorts of people, but he still served. He still had that heart of a servant. Samson was completely codependent. he couldn't exist without someone else there with him. David, King David, my hero in the Bible, what a list of things he did wrong. He was completely morally just out there, morally compromised. I think we're talking about this morning. And he had so many different family issues he had to deal with. But you know what? That man had a servant's heart, and to the point where God said, a man after my own heart. You know, for someone who did so much wrong, God chose to identify himself with King David. Why? Because his heart was in the right place. You know, and it might be an excuse, I don't know where to serve. You know what? Doesn't matter. Just start serving. Just choose something and serve. It's like the analogy, you know, I've got to head off in that direction and someone's given me a car keys and here's the car, but the car's facing that way, you know. And I hop in the car and I'll sit there and going, well, I'm not going to start doing anything until the car faces the right direction. It's going to be a long time, let me tell you. Yep, nah, the car is still here. It's still facing that way. What's the key? Just turn the car on, get moving, and you can turn it around. Yeah? So, you know, just get doing something. Doesn't matter if you think it's just in the wrong direction or it's not what you want to do in life. Just get serving because God then can start working on your life, turn it around to where you need to go. And just a final point about this is serve with a really good attitude. You would have had people who... they just suck. They'll serve, but just a completely sucky attitude about it. You know, you say, look, I've done this. You ask people to do something, and they'll go, no, I don't want to do that. Like, well, you know, kind of help out. And it's like, oh, fine, I'll do it then. You know, and you're going, okay, great, could you do it now? And they go, no, I'm not going to do it now. I'll do it later when I'm ready. Oh, you know. And so just this attitude, you know, and you're saying, well, look, if you don't want to do it now, I'll do it. It's okay, you know, I'm okay. No, I said I'll do it. I'll do it, all right, just wouldn't mind time. You know, it doesn't help anyone to have that attitude. When you serve, you just have a good attitude about it. Sandy had this great saying in the music team, which I love. He says, you know, when we're asked to do something, he goes, you've got three choices. One, you either agree and get on with the job. Two, you disagree and still get on with the job, or you leave. That's your three choices. And it's so true. Wisdom of Sandy. But it's good, isn't it? You either get on board with what's happening, whether you agree or don't, and just do it with a good attitude, or get out, because you're not helping anyone. And perfect timing, Yana. Not that I'm bringing attention to you. So let me start wrapping this up. Whom we serve is really important. I said before, we all serve someone. But it's important who that person is. And we need to get our hearts right. We need to work out who it is and what it is that we're serving. And in fact, let's stand up as we finish this. And can we just kill these middle lights, Scott? Yep. Because what I want to do, I just want to hang time. I just want to ask some questions. I'm saying whom we serve is really important. And the first part of that is this, you know, do you have God in your life? And I know Charlie asked before, but let me just pose that question again. Do you have God in your life? Is God there? Are you serving him? And there's some noble people and there's some noble things we can serve, and they sound great. You know, you could say, well, you know, the number one thing in my life is my family. That is a really noble cause. But you know what? It's not good enough. Because, like it or not, families are quite temporary. You know, for whatever reason, families can split up. People will die at the end of the day. What are you going to be left with if your partner dies and it's just you left? If that's been the number one thing in your life. It's a bit of a morbid question. But there's also, you know, I live to work. You know, well, great. What happens when your work disappears? You know, there's got to be something higher than all this that we serve. So that's my first question. My second question is this. Even with God in our lives, other things can creep in, can't they? And there's always something creeping in. And so let's close our eyes because I just want to go through it as we hang here. But, you know, I just want to take this time. If there's things in your life that you can feel them creeping in, there's things that have gotten in the way as you've done your life's journey, what I want you to do is just raise your hands. This is between you and God, and to let you know my hand is going up here because there's things in my life that I know where I've let God, God has slipped from that number one priority. This is between you and God. It's a time to say, God, you know what? In this area, in my life, in my finances, in my work, whatever it is, I want to put you back in the place where you're meant to be. I want to put you back in that number one spot. And just as these guys play, let me just tell a story. Final story is this. And it's about a guy in the Old Testament called Enoch, way long time ago. And the Bible says this. He says he was a man who walked with God. You know, every day Enoch would get up. And he had a family. Bible records he has a family. And he'd do all his work around the farm. He'd keep them fed and everything he needed to do. But then he'd go out and he'd spend time with God. And he'd just go out and he would walk with God. And God would come and meet them. And they would walk and they would talk about things and so on. And the day would go and it would pass quickly. And then, you know, evening would come and Enoch would say, I've got to race home. And they'd part their ways and he'd go home. And next day he'd get up. He'd do all his chores, whatever he needed to do. And he'd go out and he'd hang with God. And Enoch did this day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, just consistently walked with God, hung with God. And the Bible says over 300 years he did this. Until one day, you know, Enoch got up, he did what he normally did all his work, and he went out and he met with God. He was excited, he ran out there, and they got talking. And on that day, the discussion was just so interesting. He lost track of time, you know, and evening came, the sun went down, and they kept talking. And then suddenly Enoch said this. He goes, oh no, I need to get back home. And God turned to him and he said, you know what, Enoch, my place is closer than yours. Do you want to come stay with me tonight? And there's the deal, you know, and the Bible says Enoch was no more because God took him away. And they just continued that discussion and continued that relationship. And here's the deal. What I want to ask is this, is there things in your life that stop you having that hang time with God? You know, is there something so important in your life, or something that just takes that priority of you sitting there with God, that, that's going to get in the way of you just staying there with God, you know. And it might be work, might be family, whatever. But if there's something else that stops that happening where you can't just sit with God, then it needs to go. It just needs to go. And so just as we, I'll get these guys to sing, but just as they sing, look, you're welcome to hang here. If you need to go, you can go. But please, just take that time to set it right with God. That's what I want to do this morning as we just stay here. The other thing is this. If you need prayer about anything in your life, come up. Pastor Charlie's here. Pastor Helen's gone. And I'll pray with you. But it's good to agree with someone else. You know, God said if two or more people agree, out of several billion people on this earth, he said, if any two of you can actually agree on something, I'll be there. It's powerful having just one other person to agree with you. So if you need prayer for anything, feel free to come up and pray.